Welcome back to Learning to Lead. Yeah, we've been learning about the leader and how God will form a leader and how our backgrounds all play into that, as well as our personalities, our spiritual giftedness, our life experiences, all of that God puts into us being a leader. All of our strengths and all of our weaknesses are part of that. And we've already begun the discussion on culture, the way we do things here. And we talked about American culture and what that looks like, and I asked you to translate that into where you are as far as how we discover what the culture is. And then how do you discover what the culture is in a certain place? Well, I want to introduce to you today a new friend for me. This is Maya Clark Grissom. She is an educator in the city of Muskegon, Michigan, and somebody I got to know of secondhand, and that in the church in which I was a pastor, we had a class on racial reconciliation, and Maya was gracious enough to come down and be part of that class for a Sunday just to help us understand in my community, which is predominantly white, a little bit more about what it's like to be a person seeking reconciliation and love from that side of things. So welcome, Maya. Well,
thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
It is such a privilege for you to be here. But tell us a little bit about yourself. Let's start that way. Just some of the background that's gone into making you the person you are today.
Okay. Well, what's really, really crazy is I was born and raised in Brooklyn, New York. And I was raised to in a middle-class family. However, as a teenager, I wanted to do my own thing, and I thought I knew everything, and I got into the drug culture and everything, and so the Lord had to save me from that. And even in my experiences in the drug culture, my mom forced us to go to church. Whatever we did Saturday night, Sunday morning, we were in church. And so that's why I grew up in church. I know the Lord. I didn't know him on a personal level until I became an adult. But I knew of the Lord. And, you know, the Bible says that if you train up a child, you know, the way they should go when they're old, they won't depart from it. And everything that I would hear, even while I was at church back then, it still comes to my remembrance, scriptures, different songs and things like that. But so I came here to go to a program called Teen Challenge from Brooklyn, New York to Muskegon, Michigan. It was like, oh, my God.
Different world.
Oh, two different worlds. Totally. And so with Teen Challenge, I did a year there. And after I graduated from the program, I got married and I stayed here in Muskegon. Yeah.
Okay. Well, tell us a little about it. It's a different world from Brooklyn, New York. What's different about that? As far as the culture of a large city, Brooklyn, to West Michigan.
Everything. Where I'm used to hearing city noise, fire engines, just people hustling and bustling all the time. It was crickets. And when I moved here, it was nothing. You know, I could hardly sleep because there was no noise at all. So that was really a culture shock.
Yeah, I've got grandchildren who live in Seattle. When first time they came to visit a few years ago after we'd moved to this area, we got out of the car and one of them said, "What's all that noise?" It is noisy at night here with all the various creatures and bugs, right?
Yes, it is. It's really something. And what's funny is, well, in the big city, of course, there's so much to do. You know, it's like New York never sleeps. And so you can always find something to do. But here, you go to church, you go to the movies, and you're done.
Yeah, right.
There's really not a lot more to do. So that was a big change for me as well.
Place. Well, you are an educator. You're not necessarily in the classroom, but you're somebody who's in that position of making decisions about education. How did you get attracted to get an education in education?
Well, you know, the Lord, after the Lord saved me, he put on my heart to work with young people. And I was a housewife, and I didn't work. I just, you know, was home all the time, and I started to get bored. And a friend of mine came to me, and she said, you know, the kids were talking about their school and stuff. And so I started to talk to young people that I was working with in the church, and they would, you know, had so many complaints about what was going on in their school. So I said, okay, I'll just go in and speak for you guys and speak to the principal. I walked in the principal's office just as someone to, you know, say, hey, this is how the children are feeling, and I walked out with a job. I mean, he immediately hired me, I mean, right on the spot, to serve as the dean of students. And so I said, wow, well, since I want to be in education, I want to work with kids, I might as well educate myself. And so I went on to get my master's, and well, now I'm finishing. I just finished my ed specialist degree, which is a step under the doctorate, and I will continue on and get my doctorate degree in it. So it was like a street kid from Brooklyn came to Muskegon, and the Lord blessed her to earn a doctoral degree. So that was a blessing.
Yeah, I know. Well, as we talk about how God prepares leaders, often you just see those things of moving from here to there, and you think, oh, why? Well, here's why. God does that sort of thing.
God does those things.
He's just rather amazing.
He really is. He really is.
So, you know, one of the differences, too, is, you know, being a guest in your church a couple of weeks ago, that, you know, the church culture in the African-American church is very different from the church culture in the typical white American church.
Right.
Reflect on that a little bit from your perspective.
You know, I've learned, because I attended First Presbyterian here in Grand Haven.
Oh, okay.
And it, beautiful spirit. It's a little quieter.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the pastor spoke so well. I mean, it was just, you know, everything was just really, really nice. It's just that we tend to have a little bit more fun, I guess. You know, we shout, we dance, we wave our hands. I mean, we make a lot of noise. Whereas the other churches, like in Spring Lake and Grand Haven, they're just a little bit more quieter, but they know the Lord, and they share Him in their way. So they praise Him in their way.
Well, and being in your church and worshiping with other African Americans in this area as well, you know, I find that the preacher often feeds off the response of the people.
Oh, yeah.
And in fact, we were talking earlier about being in a Good Friday service, and the first pastor was just, you know, encouraging people to respond, and especially as more conservative white folk.
Mm-hmm.
And the next guy who got up, because they were doing various pastors were there in the presentation, the next guy who got up was white, and he said, now, he says, if you respond while I'm preaching, he says, I'm going to be distracted and I'm going to lose my place. So just please be quiet. Such is life, right? But the difference in culture, the expression, expressionism, the desire to be an emotional part of it.
Yes.
You know, I grew up in a denomination that was very much head knowledge and emotions. You just didn't touch those a whole lot as far as religion goes.
Right. See, well, in our church, the more you speak out, or the more you say amen, or the more you say preach, or anything you say to the preacher, it makes them want to go more, harder and longer. And so sometimes we'd be like, okay, let's not encourage him. Because we'll be there forever.
Right, but that too, so, yeah, it's just one of those cultural things. That
yes, it is.
Part of the way we do things here. That's the way we define culture, the way we do things here.
Right, right.
And it's different between African-American churches, this one and that one, and white churches the same, and and a variety of ethnic groups that are going to be listening to this interview.
Yes.
But the idea is to understand the culture.
Different cultures, right. And even though the culture is different, the premise is real. It's all about worship.
Right.
It's all about praise. Right. It's all about learning about the Bible and learning scripture and learning about God. And so I've learned that that happens in both churches.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, we're just a little bit noisier.
Yeah, for sure. But, you know, one of the things that struck me in hearing your story as you talked to our class at church was the fact that here you are, you're in this position within the Muskegon school system, and you're going to start a charter school next year.
Yes, I've worked for the public school system, and a charter school is a public school, but it's not a traditional school. And so right now, I currently work for a charter school. It's called Muskegon Covenant Academy, and it's just a phenomenal school where we work with all types of students that come from various different backgrounds who have struggled in their home districts. And so we try to help them get back on track. But with the charter school that I want to open, the one I work at now is a high school. I want to open I am going to open a school for elementary students. And we'll work with them wanting, everything is centered around test scores and things like that. But I want to be able to provide a quality education that is not being done in the urban communities. And what really pushed me to do it is because a lot of times, and not only to work with the kids, but to work with teachers as well, because we have a lot of staff, teachers that come from suburban communities that have never been in the hood, have never been to the ghetto, have not experienced, you know, what African Americans or people of poverty experience. So I want to train them how they can best help these particular types of demographics to do better and to excel in school, because I'm a firm believer that education is the only way out of poverty and paying your tithes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and that's something we've talked about in this class, is just the fact that Changing is what leadership does. It changes things, but it starts with a need or a desire.
Right.
And the leader sees that, boy, this has to change. This must change.
Mm-hmm.
And and that drives us to start garnering the people, work through a variety of things.
Right.
Now, what are some of the changes you're hoping this charter school will accomplish? One, that you're going to be working with the teachers, but what part of the African-American culture is this going to touch?
It's going to the particular community that I work in. The demographics of the students are very, very low functioning. The families, single parent homes mostly, mothers raising children by themselves, poverty, so many different things, disease, sickness, and our children suffer because they don't have the opportunity to get so many things that they might need, things that are, are quality as far as it might be norm to the suburban person, but it's, like we don't get that in the urban community. But I want to open their minds to know that everything that anyone else can have, you can have as well. Mm-hmm. And so it'll reach those students that are struggling, not only academically, but as far as financially, and live in situations, homeless situations, couch surfing. We have a lot of that. A lot of teenagers and students, they couch surf. They go from house to house just looking for a place to lay their heads. Mm-hmm. And so those are the students that I want to work with. Those are the kids that I want to cater to.
Mm-hmm.
I want to make sure that they have an equal opportunity.
Yeah. Something's got to change.
Yeah, it does. It does.
This is what's got to change.
Because our future, and if I look at my students today, if I look at the African-American culture today, I wouldn't want them to be my leader in the future. I deplore their pants hanging behind, underneath their knees and things like that. But that's what they see. That's what they see on TV. They think it's cool. Mm-hmm. They see these videos. But that's not how life really is, And so those are the ones I want to reach out to. I want to get them before they are influenced by the street.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you got to catch them before high school.
Got to catch them. I got to catch them before middle school.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. That's how bad it is.
Yeah.
We hear of so many, even children, teenagers, that are committing crimes, that are doing things because, and some of them not because they don't know any better. That's all they've seen. That's all they've seen with their parents, their uncles. Or my uncle sells drugs. I want to wear the sneakers that he wears, and but I want to introduce them to a different life. And with that, I believe God has given me the ability to lead where I can lead them and their families to something better. And not only education, but as far as Christ as well.
Mm-hmm.
To just change their whole dynamic, or their whole thinking of life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who are some of your models for leadership? I mean, us leaders, when did you figure out that God was calling you to be a leader, first of all? And then secondly, did you have any models? I didn't feel that calling until I was working in my second church. understanding of what leadership is. When did that start dawning on you that, yes, I am a leader and I can make a difference? When did that start?
I believe it started to dawn on me when I first walked into that principal's office to talk about about the students that I had been working with. And that was in 1996.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a light bulb just went off in my mind, they need this. They need someone to really, really go to bat for them, someone to really, really be in their corner, because society, the state, even all of the states in education, they've just focused on test scores.
Mm-hmm.
When these kids are out here dying, they're literally dying, and they're not being well educated. They don't know anything else. And that's when I believe the call was given to me. And a man by the name of Kevin Christopher, when I was a teenager, was my choir director.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter what I did, Kevin, he always loved me. He never treated me differently. I mean, there were times that I would literally have a drink and then go to church on a Sunday afternoon, because we black people, we stay in church all day.
Yeah, you do.
So we have an 11 o'clock service, a 3 o'clock service, a 7 o'clock service. I mean, so I would literally go into church, and he would never judge me. He would just love me. And a lot of the things that he taught me as a child, that's what I find myself doing to my kids. And they're like, ooh, for real? You love me regardless.
Yeah. Thank God he put some of those people in our lives, right?
Yes, that makes a difference.
I think it's very important, like what you're talking about, to have some some models for kids as they grow up to say, well, you know, I do want to be like
right
so-and-so,
right,
or in some way, shape, or form.
And it's not that leaders don't make mistakes. Mm-hmm. It's that leaders learn from those mistakes. And like I always tell my students, I tell you what I did or what I've experienced, so maybe you don't have to go down that road. You don't have to experience that pain. That's something that you can skip, because mm-hmm. I'm telling you, it was no fun.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So, I mean, and I, like I said, I did make mistakes, but God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his grace.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what people need to see. They need to see that.
Mm-hmm.
His grace is sufficient.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it fully equips you.
Yeah. My wife tells me that you're known to, or at least you told the story about driving down the street and you see kids hanging out. And
I have no fear. I really don't. And it's funny because... I will literally, if I'm driving down the street, I live in a quiet community, but I work, and where I work at, I don't mind driving in the hood. I don't mind. And if I see you standing on the corner doing something you're not supposed to do, oh, I'm going to get you. And I do. The other day, and this is just funny, I'm sorry, I have to tell this.
Fine.
The other day, I was looking for a student, went to the projects, and when I pulled in the parking lot, I said, oh my God, it was just a big old truck full of boys, and all you could see is smoke coming through the windows. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh Lord, look at these boys. I said, God, I know you got my back.
Mm-hmm.
So I get out the car, and I'm like kind of nervous at first, and then I'm like, nah, I'm just going to go ahead and walk. I start walking. Literally, the doors fly open from the truck. Hey, Miss Clark, you was my principal. Hey, Miss Clark. And I'm like, oh my God. So I walk over to the truck, and I just start fussing at them. Boy, put that marijuana down. You don't need to be smoking. So God has given me I have no fear.
A real courage as well, right? Yeah, that too is a gift. Like you say, it is something to say that God equips where he calls, right?
Yes.
If he's going to call us into something, he equips us to do it.
That's right. And I just don't have a spirit of fear. I just walk, and it's funny because they started to put out their marijuana. They started rolling down the windows and the smoke out. I mean, pulling up their pants. It was like, okay, where I at first was thinking, wow, you know, I don't know these boys, but I
yep.
did.
Yes, right. But apparently you have held up for them a vision of something that's different and
yes.
hopefully freeing for them eventually and that sort of
mm-hmm.
thing. So, and they know what that is.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully they'll make those choices.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Yep.
Well, we've got, you know, a lot of people out there who are going to be watching this. Anything you would say to them finally as far as being a leader? What are some of the, maybe a lesson or two, a success or a failure, whatever you'd like to share with a group of people that are going to say, okay, yeah, I understand that culture is varied now. It's extremely varied.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an exciting thing. We aren't all made alike and our situations all
mm-hmm.
aren't all alike. But any final thoughts you'd say, I really want to be thinking about that?
Lead with love. I believe that's it for me. I lead with love. I lead with love for my staff. I lead with love for my for the students, even for their families. And they know me for that. They know me no matter what. They know that Ms. Clark is going to love them. Ms. Clark is going to be there and support them. So I lead with love, and it just draws people.
Mm-hmm.
With love and kindness have I drawn me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. Lead with love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I forget the saying, but it's something about, you know, people will follow you to the extent that they know you love them.
Mm, they will. Mm-hmm. Especially young people.
Mm-hmm.
Especially young people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And imagine children. I mean, yeah, children, it's hugely important.
Oh, yes.
That sense of they care about me. It's not just I'm a person here.
Right,
so I'm
right.
Caring about it.
And a lot of them, what's really sad is in our communities, a lot of our children are not loved or they
mm-hmm.
don't feel loved
mm-hmm.
because they didn't get it from mom or they didn't get it from dad or dad wasn't in the home. So
mm-hmm.
to give them that, like in my school now, I'm the mama bear. You know, I fuss at you, I discipline you, and I love on you all at the same time. Mm-hmm. And they love that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good. Thank you so much for being here.
I enjoyed it.
Hey, I hope you've caught on to some of the things we've been talking about culture, the way we do things here. To say, yeah, here are some things that we've just heard about a different culture than what I've been presenting to you, slightly different, but some of the needs, and how a leader, you know, reacts to the needs within that culture, defining how things are done here, in order, as we're going to talk about soon, to develop a vision for the future. Now, Maya has given us a great vision to say, okay, it's not happening the way I want it to happen, the way I think it should happen, so I'm going to start another school, and we're going to make it happen there. It starts with that kind of leadership interacting with the culture, and so appreciate you helping enlighten us.
Well, thank you for having me. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you.